This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 to Ticket, talking a lot about what happened last night. Congratulations to Western Michigan playing for a national championship on Saturday night. We had a Bronco fan call up and sing the fight song. Unfortunately, it wasn't what we were looking for. We were looking for somebody who was hysterically bad. Carol called up, and she killed it.
Is there a strong possibility Carol is in the Western Michigan University Sports Hall of Fame?
I mean, she played five sports.
Five sports. 4 years of basketball. It was like 3 years of field hockey and track and field, golf, and was it soccer? Was that the other one?
No, it was field hockey, track and field, softball, basketball, golf.
Gotcha. Yep. Softball was the other
one. Could be.
Impressive. Yep. Just impressive.
Very impressive. But I will search the Western Hall of Fame. Great. They're done by alphabetical by last.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Okay, whatever. I've probably spent too much time on this already, but Carol was awesome. And look, Western's become a great story that I think everybody can get on board, except for Central fan, which is hysterical. You know Costa?
Yeah.
Central Michigan Jim?
Yeah.
He'd been planning on going to this Frozen Four for years.
I know.
And the idea that Central Michigan Jim might have to watch Western win the national championship is beyond hysterical.
I imagine that he'll be donning some burgundy.
Do you think he will have the gall to wear CMU gear?
Yes. Actually, I don't know. I don't see Jim doesn't wear CMU gear here.
Oh, I think I move. This one's going to be interesting.
Text him and find out.
Yeah, maybe.
What's like one of the worst things you had to do with your in-laws, Doug, ever?
Great question.
I mean, he is Central guy, and he's got to go with his in-laws to watch Western try to win it all?
I got in the middle of a church dust-up with the in-laws.
Church? Doug, not being respectful.
No, it was about when church started, and we were trying to get the mother-in-law out the door on time, which was not her strength. She had a lot of strengths, but my father-in-law was getting irritated, and I ended up in the car with the father-in-law, and there was some venting on the way to church. It was an Easter Sunday.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Anniversary coming up.
Yeah. No, it was a funny story when it was all said and done, but.
Oh, it wasn't one of those.
It wasn't. Okay. No, it was fine.
Good.
Yep.
I just thought I'd put out a bad signal, Jim, just to call in, because I think there's lots to ask Jim.
Okay.
I think this is an interesting decision he made.
Yeah.
To go ahead of time.
Yeah. Now, I'll say this. Just as a pure party, the Frozen Four is a great party. There was a writer back in the day, John Barkin, who threw a big party, the Barkin Bash, which was it was over the top, out of control. And I went to a few Barkin Bashes, and they were, may he rest in peace. The Barkin Bash was awesome, but I imagine the party's still great. So,
I'm guessing Jim didn't make this choice.
Didn't make the choice. What do you mean?
To go to the Frozen Four?
I think, well, his in-laws always go every year, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I think the wife said we're going.
Right, we did the good job. We've got
he can kind of confirm it.
We've got Jim Costa, which we were just talking about how hysterical it is that Central Michigan Jim might have to watch Western win a national championship. Probably not your ideal scenario.
No, Doug. We got these tickets before we knew who was going to the Final Four, and it's just my luck. Western Michigan's on the edge of a championship.
Yeah. So, in real, first, let's start with this. Did you bring any Central gear with you?
No, I thought that would be a bit extreme. I was just rooting for everybody else, and we'll be rooting for Boston on Saturday.
Yeah, my man. That's how it works. You got this healthy hatred for the other university. It's the rivalry, man. I got it.
Go Terriers.
Wow. So are you there now?
I'm actually walking because, again, my bad luck. I missed the continental breakfast, so I'm walking to get breakfast right now. But yeah, I'm in St. Louis.
All right. Okay, so did you go to the game last night? The games
last
night?
Yeah, we were at both games yesterday. Yeah, both of them.
How did this come about? It was your in-laws that go every year?
Yeah, my father-in-law and one of his good friends have gone, 20 years now to the Frozen Four. And it's actually my first time being here. Kind of cool. It's like a celebration of college hockey. People wear jerseys from Minnesota, Wisconsin. I've seen Wolverine jerseys, Spartan jerseys. It's a cool event. I just hate that this is my introduction to it.
It's 100% true that everybody, it feels like a good percentage, 40%, 60%, wear a college hockey jersey, regardless of whether or not your team is there or not, to the Frozen Four.
Yes.
Yeah.
So your father-in-law got you into this, and he's been going for 20 years, you say. Where did he go to school? Does he have an allegiance for college hockey, or how did this begin?
He went to Grand Valley. My wife's family's from the west side of the state, and the other friend they're here with is a Western grad. So everybody's having a great time, and I might add, Western fans are the loudest, the most in volume. They traveled. They showed out. So as you can picture it, that game's in double OT. Everyone's on pins and needles. They score the goal. Everybody stands and cheers, and I'm sad guy with confetti falling on his head.
Well, I hope you find a way to enjoy yourself either way. You stayed for the second game, too?
Oh, yeah. We were there for the second game. I needed to know who I was pulling for on Saturday.
Okay. And what do you think of BU's chances?
I got the 6'5 Ivan Drago Russian goalie, so I'm putting a lot of hope in that. Mm-hmm. They got a couple of the Hudson brothers. They're related to Lane Hudson, who plays for Montreal.
Right.
They got Cole Iserman, so there's a chance for an Iserman to let down the state of Michigan on Saturday night. So
wow.
I'm doing my research.
Okay, and did you have any interaction with any random Western fans?
Oh, yeah, a couple listeners. We got listeners out here that have come up and, made sure to give me a hard time. So,
yeah
we're having a spirited conversation every now and then.
Is it good-natured at least, or is it in your face?
Oh, yeah. That's what I tell you. Hockey fans, at their core, are good people. So nothing's been over the top or anything like that.
Okay. Well, enjoy yourself, and you'll be there Saturday night to root on your Terriers.
Before you guys let me go, we got to get the Frozen Four back to Detroit. Can you guys do what you can do to push that? Because it's been too long since we've had one.
I was at the last one.
2010.
Yeah. Michigan State was involved. Wisconsin was there. Yeah, I was there.
I went to a game at that Frozen Four in Ford Field. Future dates, I'm just looking it up because next year's in Vegas.
We're supposed to get 2020 COVID. It got canceled. We've had it only one time since 1990.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know they're on it. They are definitely working hard to get an
Beach
event Nau? Like that.
Get after it, Beach Nau. <Right, Nau>. Yeah. cool. Well, yeah, I completely agree with you. Yeah, if we can handle it. We support hockey.
Of course we can. Yeah. Of course we can.
All right, my man. Enjoy.
All right. Take care, guys.
Yeah, we'll see you next week. Sad guy with confetti falling on him.
That's pretty funny. We don't even have a regional in our state. 26, 27, or 28.
That seems weird, right?
That's BS.
Yeah. We've got, LCA is a perfect place for that.
In fact, boy, little Midwest love. There is no regional in the Midwest next year.
Well, the Midwest does have the Frozen Four this year.
I mean, I guess, yeah, St. Louis. But no regional next year. the year after or the year after?
Where are the Frozen Fours?
Frozen Fours are St. Louis, Las Vegas, Washington, D.C., Chicago.
So they get a Frozen Four anyway. But what? It's Chicago. Yeah, well, Chicago, it's not Detroit, yeah. But yeah.
No, I we didn't have a regional this year, and we don't have any for the next 3 years. I liked them a lot more when they were on campus sites. Nobody cares.
Vegas, though. That could be
Fun. Vegas could be fun for hosting anything, sure. 248-539-9797. Bunch of Piston feedback coming in. We will get to that straight ahead here on Carson Anderson. Hey, you know the guys at Michigan Auto Law. They're the ones that specialize only in auto and truck accidents, Steve and his crew. And they are reliable when it comes to this. That's why they have the largest auto accident settlement, largest truck accident settlement. They also take on fewer cases than any other law firm. They take on fewer on purpose. It means they have more time for your case, and it's a formula that leads to faster and larger settlements for their clients. And they'll call you back within 24 hours. Michigan Auto Law, the law firm that puts people over everything. Visit autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. 248-539-9797. We have open lines. I thought it was interesting what Aiden Hutchinson had to say there. If you missed it in the update, we'll get to it a little bit more in depth today at 11:32. Tons of feedback to get caught up on, and we do appreciate everybody who listens to the show and sounds off on their favorite topics, whatever they may be. And that includes Western Michigan hockey fans and Piston fans who sent us a bunch of feedback today. Here's one, and I want to know, you know how we talk about thing, not a thing? Is this a real thing or not a thing?
Right, right.
Is this something to be fired up about or concerned about, or is this just...
A big old nothing taco.
A big old nothing taco, yeah. Tell me if this is a something taco or a nothing taco. Are you ready?
All right, I love tacos.
Unnamed texter writes, unfortunately for us, the league will never allow the Pistons to win a series against New York. A Boston-New York second-round matchup is more valuable to the league than competitive integrity. Gator... A something taco or a nothing taco?
I want to say it's a nothing taco, and yet the way that things have happened in the league, there have been some strange things. I know that you want to have an embargo on the whole Luka thing, but that's strange. I feel like that's league-generated.
You think the league had something to do with Luka ending up in L.A.?
I do. I don't think that you just, I mean, you can't explain the lack of a return on Dallas's part in that trade without somebody coming in and saying, hey, how about doing this?
Yeah.
Better for the league. You know, the fact that certain teams always win the lottery.
San Antonio, why would they care that
I don't know, but they do.
Okay, here's why it's a nothing taco. Last year in the second round of the playoffs, the Knicks played the 6-seed Indiana Pacers. The winner advanced to play the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Final. Who won the series? Indiana. So 1 year ago, they had a chance to fix a series and send the Knicks and the Celtics into a Eastern Conference Final matchup, and they didn't.
Well, I don't have the ability in my mind to go back to that series. Remember what happened? Was it a tight series? Was it just obvious?
It was a seven-game series.
The final game, were there some missed calls or not?
The Pacers won by 21 in New York to close out the Knicks.
So it feels like even the refs couldn't help that one out.
Kang, is this a something taco or a nothing taco that the league will not allow Detroit to deny them a Boston-New York second-round matchup?
Come on, come on.
I'm sorry, Gator. First of all, as far as the Luka thing, I've already gone full-blown conspiracy. You know that. I mean, days after that trade, I couldn't get over it, and I went into full conspiracy mode is why that trade happened.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the Knicks bias and the Pistons thing, it's a nothing taco because of this. If anything, it's more anti-Detroit. It's not pro-Knicks, okay? The pro-Knicks thing that everyone kind of believes in and has for a while, They've sucked forever. It's never like if they're trying to help the Knicks, they're doing a terrible job at it. And I think it's because they know the New York market loves basketball, so they don't even have to try to get them to be good. They just they sell out MSG every night anyways.
We gave you the frozen envelope. Yeah. What more do you want?
And that's it. Like, and nothing's happened for them since then. So I think if anything, it may be more anti-Detroit, but it's definitely not pro-Knicks. And then you mentioned last year, Doug, that the Pacers beat the Knicks. I called it a month or so ago that I didn't think the Pistons were getting out of the first round. I'll stand by that now, but they have the absolutely ability to beat the Knicks. This isn't one of those, you know, hey, they're eighth seed. Let's just get, you know, four practice games in for the higher seed. No, the Knicks are going to go through something here if it's the Knicks, and it's going to be tough. And I could definitely see the Pistons winning.
More feedback coming in. In a season series against the Knicks, you could see Jalen Duren and Isaiah Stewart really getting into Carl Anthony Towns' head. If they can do that in the playoffs, I think there's a real chance to upset the Knicks. I think, look, when the game ended last night, on the FanDuel broadcast, they showed Carl Anthony Towns, well after the game ended, speaking to the officials. Like, he was not happy at all.
He did that at the end of one of the timeouts, too, as well. Like, he would always go over and talk to the refs about how I think he was getting played by Stu and Duren, and anything physical, he didn't like it.
Yeah. Yep. And I think it was, let me see if I can find this quote. And I think it's the New York Post.
Some head games, huh?
It's from PJ Tucker of the Knicks on last night's game. They just out-toughed us. They did the whole fourth quarter. We kept it close, but they just out-toughed us. That's something we got to address. Obviously, not having OG or not having Hart, getting those guys back will help. I just feel that down in the trenches like that in the playoffs this year, they're not calling nothing. They're letting a lot of stuff go right now. Okay? And that's... Well, I mean, is that telling you that the Knicks already are interpreting that the Pistons are playing playoff-style basketball? And if this is how it's going to be officiated, it's not Detroit that has to adjust. It's the Knicks that have to adjust.
Well, yeah, I think there's part of that. I think he's given a lot of respect to Detroit for their style of play, which is interesting because Tucker's the player that stood over Schroeder later in the game. But, yeah, I think it's actually respectful. Like, we got to get back to that level. That's what we have to do. We have to play with grit and determination and play a harder style of basketball. Mm-hmm. And, oh, by the way, refs, have a little help, is what he's saying. So there's a little bit of wah with that.
Feedback. That alley-oop is a moment that will be shown in a documentary someday as a turning point or key moment. That's from an unnamed texter.
Nah, this team's not going to stick together long enough where that's going to matter.
What, the Pistons?
The Knicks.
Oh. Well, he's saying it, a documentary about the Pistons.
Oh, about the Pistons?
Yeah, it'll be shown as a key moment.
You think you think that's a key moment or turning point or anything like that?
Nope.
Text us immediately afterwards. Guys, is this going to be a thing?
Yes, but I don't think it's a turning point for the organization. The turning point for the organization happened in December. You know, and they would have to say what it was, which maybe they have, and I missed
it. They just kind of started clicking, I guess, yeah. But yeah, then they had an injury, and they were able to overcome that.
This was an emphatic exclamation point on the butt-whooping that's to come.
Oh, boy.
If the Pistons...
Ask you this, sorry, before you get to the next text.
Sure.
With the way they played last night, does this solidify for you one way or the other who you'd rather face, Indiana or New York?
No, it makes me excited for both.
Exactly.
That made me realize that this next series can be just as intense as what I anticipate an Indiana series would be like.
I think last night's performance and the result has me thinking about the playoffs, so I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Kang, did it do anything for you last night, one way or the other?
No, I wanted the Knicks because I just feel they have a better chance to beat the Knicks than they do the Pacers. But this does add fuel to the flame. I mean, they're definitely going to play it up on all the, you know, the national media stuff. Like, if it's finalized, like, it's going to be Pistons-Knicks, I think they do show that dunk more than once. You know, like, yeah, just, hey, look at this is the last time they played.
Yep.
Look, I got Chippy. Look at Schroeder standing over Brunson. Oh, look at Tucker standing over Schroeder. Oh, yep. Look at this unnecessary alley-oop dunk at the end of the game.
Do you think those guys, did anybody ask him about it afterwards? I didn't see any quotes from players about that because it'd be like, hey, man.
I think you play that dunk and then you play Rick Mahorn going, don't do it.
Do you got that readily available?
The Rick Mahorn sound.
It is so.
The final call of the game.
Stinking funny that it's Rick Mahorn saying don't do it. And Rick could see it coming. All right, this is noted bad boy and regulator Rick Mahorn, who had plenty of don't do it moments in his career. Listen to what he had to say about the alley-oop in the end. Rick thinks it's something.
Yes, it does, Mark Champion. Yes, it does.
Man. Pretty entertaining that it's Rick. If this Piston team had a healthy Jaden Ivey, I believe they'd be a threat to make the conference finals. I really hope they have him embrace the six-man role next year. It just makes too much sense to do that. We go into scoring droughts when Cade has to rest, and Ivey would be perfect to lead the second unit. Mike in Waterford says, maybe it's just me, but watch the look Cade has towards the end of that game. He had that killer Kobe-like look even after they won. The playoffs are going to be Cade's coming out party to the national media and fan base. He's going to hit a whole new gear.
You know, the first text there you read about Jaden Ivey coming back and thinking about next year. Can you imagine having Ivey, Beasley, and Ron Holland coming off the bench? Along with Isaiah Stewart, for that matter. I mean, that because the starting five last night didn't include any of those guys in the starting five.
I like it.
I mean, that's a serious rotation you can go through. That's nine players before you start getting into, you know, the Schroeders of the world as well, and which we haven't included. And it's exciting. This is an exciting team.
I've been a little bit surprised by an offseason storyline and wonder how much attention we should give said storyline. As it pertains to the Lions, we'll get to that today at 11:32. It is Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Later in the show, we'll get into some draft buzz, NFL draft buzz.
Oh, a little buzz.
Yeah. Talking a lot of Western Michigan hockey and Piston basketball to open the show. If you want to revisit, use the Odyssey app, the rewind feature, and go back and listen to the beginning of the program, if you so choose. In the meantime, Scott Anderson, during the update there, it was a cut played from a podcast down at the Masters. I have to give credit where credit's due. I don't know who had the podcast, but Aiden Hutchinson was interviewed and was asked about his health. This surprised me how much of an off-season storyline this has become with our listeners. And so I'm like, okay, we've missed the boat. There is concern with some Lions fans about the health of Aiden Hutchinson, the long-term health of Aiden Hutchinson. Now, when I heard clean break, I was like, awesome. Word.
Great news.
Yep. But others.
I mean, if it's going to be a broken leg, you want it to be a clean break.
And guys come back from that all the time in my experience. Now, what we discovered, though, is that there is concern.
Mm-hmm.
Fans have concerns. So every time we get a health update, we want to play it for you because we either alleviate your fears or whatever. Here's Aiden Hutchinson recently from, I was down on the Masters actually, talking about his health. Okay. So I don't know if this helps Lions fans, right? Is the video emerged last week of him running and doing some change of direction stuff. Now you hear that.
Pain-free.
Yeah. Are we good? Should we feel good?
I hope we're good.
We're good here, right?
I hope we're good.
don't know. I mean, we had the update last week or a couple weeks ago. We've had video emerge of him running. And we've had this now with the very latest. And I guess as I look at this thing, I think the Super Bowl dream of having him back, if the Lions made the Super Bowl, that was his goal to get back for the Super Bowl. And then video emerge where there was no way he was playing in the Super Bowl. And that was clear. He still had a limp weeks after the Super Bowl. Maybe that gave people a perspective. Oh my God, he's way behind schedule.
Right. Right.
When the truth is it was an unrealistic goal to get back when he said he was trying to.
Well, and is it the same thing with Piston fans right now with Jaden Ivey? Because now he's been given
cleared
the permission cleared
to activity.
Yeah, basketball activities. They're going to have another update in 2 weeks. So he's literally able to practice with the team to go through what would seem to be full workouts with the team.
Mm-hmm.
He's been with them for a while, just kind of shooting around and stuff, but now he's able to participate in practices. So it's the same type of thing with him. They don't expect him for the first round of the playoffs, but maybe, just maybe, if you get to the end of a long series in the first round, or if you win that series, is he available in the second round? Maybe. But it's a similar thing, isn't it? Because it's a 4 to 6 month timeline. And, you know, he did that right at what, New Year's Eve?
Yeah. You know,
4 months is the end of April.
At this point, I look at any contribution from Ivy as a bonus. I don't have huge expectations, but.
No, and, you know, there's a big part of me that just says, don't push it. Just continue on about your rehab. You'll be back with this team probably next season as opposed to this postseason. I don't want him to push it, because this does seem like, I mean, I know the timelines are 4 to 6 months, but if the timeline is, if you look at that and adhere to it strictly, that's the end of April would be when he's ready to start to go.
Right.
So I would be a little concerned about that and just saying, all right, let's just take it easy here. But I mean, if he's ready to go, if he's medically cleared, if the doctors say, no, he's good to go. And if there's no pain and there's no swelling or anything like that, or there's no setbacks, then full steam ahead.
Let's go to Dylan. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Dylan.
Hi. I just want to talk about Hutch. You know, a lot of fans are saying that they're worried about his injury and everything. I think he's going to be just fine. You know, there's really no harder worker than Aiden Hutchinson. You know, he wants to be on the field just as much as anybody else, if not more than anybody else. So he's going to do whatever it takes for him to be 100% to get back on that field and be another game changer that he was.
Yeah, there's no doubt that he's got all the things that you would want in your professional athlete when it comes to intangibles and work ethic and all that. I mean, you can't work your way. I mean, I suppose you can do a little bit, but I when it comes to rehabilitating, you have to, you know, you're a little bit you're a little bit at the mercy of how quickly your body is healing.
Exactly. Yeah. You just have to listen to your body. That's all you can really do.
Yeah. So I'm glad you're not worried. I hope others also are not worried. And, you know, he sounded good there. Sounded like he was cool. We shall see. 248-539-9797. Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. We have an update on one of the favorite storylines here at the Carson Anderson program, and that is the fact that Kang's youngest daughter actively does not like him and trolls him on a regular basis.
That's so rough.
It is rough, but I don't know if I've heard anything more cold than a 3-year-old who, when he says to her, "I love you," she says back, "I love mommy."
Yeah, it's not even mommy more. It's just, "I love mommy," which completely shuts out Kang.
Yeah,
absolutely. Let's be dead in the eye and says this.
There is, she has a circle. Mommy is inside the circle and Kang is outside the circle.
Yeah, nowhere to be seen.
And there's no misinterpretation of this.
No.
And we have an update.
Oh, she went elite level last night as well, again.
So it's no improvement.
No, I don't even know if this might be worse. We're all watching TV in the living room. My wife and the two girls are on the couch together, and I'm sitting on the love seat, separate, you know, area, but in the living room watching. Mm-hmm. out of nowhere, the three-year-old turns to me and goes, "Daddy, you're sitting by yourself." I go, "What?" And I go to my wife. I go, "Jackie, did you hear this?"
Wow.
She goes,
"Come on, man."
Yeah. She's like, "I don't know why she does this to you. I mean, I'm like nothing but nice to her. I'm overly nice, actually, at this point." I mean, thank you for pointing that out, dear.
Oh, my God.
What the F, man?
I think that's more cold-hearted. Maybe it seems more cold-hearted because you already have the baseline that, you know, "I love mommy." And then follow that up with, "Hey, daddy." And you're like, "Oh, here we go. An opportunity to interact with the younger one." "Yes, yes, sweetie. What's up? What's going on?" "You're sitting by yourself." Did you then say, would you like to sit with daddy?
Oh, I know. I don't even want to invite that rejection. Like, I know what's going to happen. You know, that's a quick
that's
no.
That's amazing.
I was so stunned. I was like, geez. Well, not, I don't know. I just didn't expect it. It was out of nowhere.
Here's the thing that I keep thinking of. Is at that age, I swear, I was like a hero to my kids.
Oh.
They probably didn't love me any more than when they were that small. And then they became teenagers.
And then at that age, I became a hero to those kids.
And when they were teenagers, they felt worse about me. Your daughter is starting with a baseline of not liking you. And when she gets to be a teenager, look out. Like, lock the door at night, my friend.
Did she laugh?
Yeah. She knows what she's doing.
What did you say
after
that?
She's like, "That's hysterical. Dad's, he's lonely. Look at him, that lonely bastard sitting over there by himself.
Look at that loser."
Yeah, right?
Did you get up and leave?
No, I asked my wife for help. I was like, "Hey, a little help over here, man."
Was there a correction?
I'm shook.
Was there an education? What happened?
Oh,
here?
Yeah, she tried to talk to her. "Hey, you don't sit to daddy, you know, why don't you? I'm going to go sit next to daddy," type thing. You know, everyone over here.
Wow.
She, no.
Man. Did your oldest daughter acknowledge?
No, she's the other way. She loves me, I can tell. Yeah. she's told me before. Maybe this is a reverse thing, though. You know how you said they didn't like you later on and like when they became teenagers?
Maybe when she's a teenager, she's going to love you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you keep thinking that.
Man, that is cold.
Cold, man.
That is so cold. Ice cold. Dude, stone cold.
I feel for you, my man.
Wow.
248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Check out these spring savings at Sarah Chevrolet in Sterling Heights. Lease a new 2025 Chevy Equinox LT for just $289 a month. For 36 months with $19.99 down. $289. Go now to 17 and a half in Van Dyke in Sterling Heights. 87-SAY-SARAH or saysarah.com. Together, let's drive. With GM employee discount and lease in the household, 10,000 miles per year plus taxes and fees. With approved credit, offer ends at the end of the month. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. It's happened to a couple in Michigan. Has it ever been an issue for you? We'll get to that in the noon hour. I got some draft buzz. Get to the Tigers as they are back at it tonight in division for the first time. Second time, rather. They beat the White Sox. They are still in the division. They just kind of have their place in the division locked up. Let's go to Lisa in Birmingham. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, good morning. Just wanted to address a couple things with Hutch. I'm a nurse, and I do think that as far as his, you know, rehab assignment goes, it's going to be he's working very hard at it. It's the timeline for 4 to 6 months is probably more of a average person who's going to sit at a desk, you know, and work on the computer 4 to 6 months. But for a professional athlete, he might actually be a little bit ahead of the curve. And I think for people to be worried at this point is maybe a little preemptive.
There's certain. I don't really blame people for being concerned that things are going too smooth for the Lions, and they have to be doomed because they always were in the past.
Yeah, and they let Za'Darius Smith go, which would have been a nice bookend. so I think the concern in general might be growing, but. For my part, I think we've got some time left. It's, till the fall before things actually come to fruition, and this might just turn out all right. And that's what I'm hoping for, and I think he's doing his best. But as far as Kane goes, I got to tell him a little bit of support because the girls can be cold. I have three sons and one daughter. And my daughter, I'm the type of mom, oh, you're home from college. Let me wash your clothes. You need more Pop-Tarts. You need, some toilet bowl cleaner. You know, I'm there for you.
Right.
Fill your gas tank before you go back to Central. She comes home and goes to a party from an old elementary school classmate, blocks away from our house, blocks away. We don't even know she's there. She goes back to Central. Later on, she comes home another time, and I find a ticket stub from, I want to say, movies or something, and in her clothes when I'm washing them. And I said, "Oh, you were home this weekend? Oh, I was at a party at Brittany's, and it was just a party, and I'm like, here we think she's 3 hours away." And she's six
just
blocks
down the street
away,
and ignoring right mom and dad.
Does not
and
care.
Ever even. And I'm like, oh, she's here. Kill the fatted calf. It's a prodigal daughter. Buy her everything she wants. Let's do her laundry. And she doesn't even stop by.
Wow. Wow.
That's cold. That's cold.
Yeah. So he shouldn't feel, I mean, just.
He shouldn't feel bad because he's got 15 more years before that even comes into play.
He should get used to it, is what you're saying. He should get used to this.
As someone who knows Lisa, she doesn't like you.
It comes back around. It does come back around because now once they're married, once they see how hard it is to make the money that you've made for her to support her in the style to which she's become accustomed. and she sees how supportive you've been and how hard it is to do the same for your kids. It comes back around.
Well, that's a wonderful story, Lisa, and Kang just needs to deal with this for the next 22 to 25 years what I'm taking away from this. So,
you know, this screams to me in Lisa's situation.
What's that?
Daughter's got a boyfriend.
Could be, yeah.
And that's what happens.
Yep.
I knew friends of mine, perhaps even people really close to you that you may know, maybe yourself, that can take over. I knew I had a roommate of mine who was going to school at North Carolina and came back up to Michigan State, was at Michigan State for like a full week. None of us knew. And we're like, dude, you're here? He's like, yeah, but I'm leaving tomorrow. Well, when'd you get here? Like last week. What the hell?
Well.
Women.
Yeah.
Girlfriend. That's what occupied the time.
These relationships.
Mm.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
That's not Kang's situation right now. It's just sheer hatred.
No, if she has a boyfriend, I might be really pissed.
Yeah, well. She will eventually, my friend. She will eventually. Okay. Tigers at Minnesota today. Reese Olson taking the mound against David Festa. He's making his first appearance of the season for the Twins. This is... Look, this division is Detroit, Cleveland, Minnesota, Kansas City. And then there's also the White Sox. I got a feedback from a wise listener last week who said, beat the Yankees for show, beat the Twins for dough. And there's some truth to that, right? These in-division games and series you want to be good at. And so, yes, it was cool beating the Yankees. But these things mean more. So they open up a important series, early season series at Minnesota tonight. Gator, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I think it's an interesting way to look at it, and I agree that the division games mean way more. Mm-hmm. You've got a three-game series that begins tonight in Minnesota against three right-handed pitchers. Mm-hmm. That's who's scheduled to start for the Twins. One of the starters hasn't even pitched yet this season, so we got that going for him. It's time. It's time for guys to start looking really potent at the plate. Guys like Riley Green, Colt Keith, Kerry Carpenter. That here's your opportunity. You got right-handed pitching. You're going to face. Crush it. Absolutely get out there and crush it.
Yep.
I'm curious with Gleyber Torres likely to be called up, but it'd be official. Apparently, he flew out with the team. So, and they've already sent Brewer down that. That he'll be in the lineup at some point. I mean, it's a right-handed pitcher, so Torres is a right-handed hitter. Is he a switcher or just right-handed? I think he's just right-handed. But with him being that way, do they still let Colt Keith start? Or do you automatically just go right away? Here, step on into it, Gleyber Torres.
Yep.
Because we're curious to see what's going on with Colt Keith here. We talked a lot about Colt Keith yesterday and the slow start that he's off to at the plate with hitting the ball. Still hitting 171, which isn't very good, but it's almost twice as good as what Parker Meadows was hitting last year when he got sent down. Colt Keith's getting on base a lot with the 12 walks in the 12 games, and that does matter. It does matter. But not playing well defensively at second base, that could be trouble. So what are they going to do? Are they going to start to do something where Colt Keith is the DH? Spencer Torkelson plays first. Kerry Carpenter is in right, and Gleyber Torres is at second. You could have all those guys in the lineup at the same time.
I hate to bring this up because I suspect that you won't like it at all.
Here we go.
Yep. Tonight's game, beginning of the series.
Yeah.
You know it's on Apple TV.
I didn't know that.
So. Now, you still don't have Apple TV.
No, I think I have Apple TV.
Oh.
I just don't like having to go to Apple TV.
But you have it, so you can, stream the game.
I think I do.
He thinks he does, people.
Well, I think the only reason I got it was because the Tigers last year.
Okay. And you haven't canceled. You stayed stuck
probably
with it.
Probably haven't canceled it.
Yeah. All right. So you're going to watch it.
So what, Severance is on Apple?
Yes.
Yeah. I think I still have Apple.
Okay. You haven't started Severance, have you?
Not yet.
Okay.
I do plan on it.
Ooh. All right.
What?
No, I actually didn't think you were going to.
Yeah, I do plan on watching it at some point.
Okay, good.
Let's see what all the rage is about.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Now I am excited. Okay, good. So you got Apple TV. You're all set. Kang, do you have Apple TV at home?
Yeah, I do.
All right. So you're all good too. It does. I get it for people who don't have it. It's a major irritant, but
does your youngest like baseball, Kang?
Dude, I'm trying to get her to like me.
Yeah,
right. So maybe if you don't show interest in it, she will show interest in it, and then you can say, "Well, I'll take it to a game."
Yep. And you know, you're
when Gator says you're old enough.
Yeah. Or any game the Gator's not at, right?
That works too.
Well, look, it's, these are early season series. There's a lot of baseball to go, but I'm
Apple, huh?
Such a fan of this team that I cannot wait for this Twin Series. So, should be good.
Should be good. Yeah, I guess the Red Wings are playing tonight.
Let me ask you a question.
Pistons are playing tonight.
So, Reese Olson's on the mound tonight. Do you still get most excited for Scooble starts? Because I get more excited now for Mize starts. I feel like so much is riding on Casey Mize actually being good.
I think there's very little separation between Casey Mize starts, Tarek Scooble starts, and Jackson Jobe starts. Very little separation.
Yep.
And then there's a little bit more separation between those three and Jack Flaherty, and then Reese Olson is odd man out. It's like, yeah, I mean, it's a Tiger game. I'm going to be tuning in. Oh, look who's on the hill. It's Reese Olson. But yep. I'm not tuning in because it's Reese Olson. I'm tuning in because of the Tigers. Those other pitchers give you more reason because of who they are.
Casey Mize. Looks like a different dude. Looks like he might be
dialed in.
Might be dialed in, might be living up to the billing. We only know that over time.
There's an intensity that he has on the mound that I wonder if that intensity is going to start to turn into intimidation.
You know, he looks like he knows he's an MF-er right now. He looks like he knows it. He's pitching like it, and he knows it. Gotta love it. 248-539-9797. All right. This happened to a Michigan couple. Have you ever had to deal with something similar? We will get to that in the noon hour. Also talk some latest NFL draft buzz here on 97.1 The Ticket.